know your score.
For the worship service of our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Good morning. Good morning. All right, you're a good voice, good form. Good to have you here this day as we worship our Lord on this July 15th. For those on radio, WPHM, simulcast of this radio broadcast, or on a podcast, we're glad you're part of our worshiping extended congregation this day. For those who might be listening on a podcast, not knowing what's going on at Port Huron, this has been race week. Talking to Carl Erickson, because there's a lack of air moving boats, there are still six tall ships out and ready to be launched on the lake, past the bridge. I said, can't somebody get on the water and just push them? And they said, Jesus wasn't available. Could they start motors? No, that's outlawed. It's got to be natural air. So they are waiting for the great breeze of the Holy Spirit to move their ships. So for all who travel, certainly on the boats, we wish them well, safe journey. For those of us gathered here this day, we celebrate Eucharist. So we're glad you're in-house with us to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion this day. Real quick flash, Wednesday, we will be having a church picnic over at Scott and Marion Pike's home on Ponderosa Drive. We hope you can make it. It begins at 6 and can go to 8, but Scott reminds us he turns into Cinderella around, 9 o'clock, something like that, so you can go to work the next day. Oh, okay. Test him on that one. So we'll be at his place. Just bring a dish to pass, a chair if you can, so it's not to tax his resources. If you have a yard game, something you want to do, some favorite thing, bring it along with you. We invite you to do that. His wonderful yard, we've been there before for picnics for the church, so we look forward to his invitation for hospitality and for bringing both the 8:30 and the 11 o'clock congregations together in a social but personal time together. So that's Wednesday. Many things will be happening this week as we do ministry together. Following this service at 9:30, we'll be in the classroom to do advanced planning on Vacation Bible School. We have the bare bones as I have structured it so far for themes, beginning music. We will gather together for those on youth committee, for those on education committee, and for those who are just plain interested as parents or congregation to be part of the plenary process. Please join us at 9:30 this morning. We came here to worship, so that is what we do. If you'll please rise for confession of sin, page 1. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and against one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move, and we have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all of our offenses. Cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And for his sake, God forgives you all of your sins. Amen. Our entrance hymn is Lead On, O King Eternal. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our hymn of the day is, This is the day that the Lord has made. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'll join me in a prayer for this day, please. O God, from you come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated. First reading by Kathy Cole for us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading today comes from Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 15. Amos was not the kind of prophet attached to temples or royal courts. Rather, he was an ordinary farmer from Judah, which was in the southern kingdom, called by God to speak to Israel, who was in the northern kingdom. God's word of judgment through Amos conflicted with the king's court prophet Amaziah, whom Amos encountered at Bethel. This is what the Lord God showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the Lord's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. This is the word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kathy. Second reading. Tony Gaines is our lector.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In Jesus, all of God's plans and purposes have been made known, as heaven and earth are united in Christ. Through Jesus, we have been chosen as God's children and have been promised eternal salvation. The second reading today comes from Ephesians 1, chapters 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed upon us, the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we also have obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and he believed in him, were marked with the seal of promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Tony. If you're able to stand for the gospel and its acclamation. The text is Mark 6, Together we speak the acclamation. Alleluia. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ enlighten the eyes of our hearts that we might know the hope to which God has called us. Alleluia. From the gospel text of Mark 6, verse 14 through 29. Glory to you, O Lord. So as Jesus and his disciples began to attract attention, Mark recalls the story of John's martyrdom of the Baptist. And like John, Jesus and the disciples will also suffer at the hands of those opposed to the gospel of salvation. The word of the Lord follows. King Herod heard of the disciples' preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead. For this reason, these powers are at work in Jesus. But others said it is Elijah. Others said he is a prophet. He's one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who had arrested John, had bound John up, put John to death in the prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her adultery. For John had been telling Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against John the Baptizer, wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John's power, knowing he was a righteous man, a holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to John. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, was given a banquet for his courtiers and officers, leaders of the Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced for him, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to his stepdaughter, ask me for whatever you wish, and I shall give it to you. And he solemnly swore this to her. So whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and she spoke with her mother, who hated John. What should I ask from Herod? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king, requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptizer on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for his guests, he didn't want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went, and he beheaded John in the prison, brought his head on a platter, brought it to the daughter Herodias. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and they laid it within a tomb. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. If you'd like to follow through the scriptures, I'll take you through the word of God for the day. From the first reading of the Old Testament, you get a text about a man called Amos. Amos was a non-high profile prophet of God. No formal training, no seminary, no Bible college, nothing like that at all. He tended herds and vineyards. That was his only qualifications. But here's the one that stood behind him, and that was God's call to him. It was not the formalization of some kind of process to become a rabbi or a priest in the Jewish tradition, but a call totally initiated by God for this one to be a mouthpiece to the people of Israel. You will find, as we saw last week and the week before, there's a common theme of these weeks, and that is those who serve God will not have an easy road. Those who serve God faithfully will not have an easy road. I always think about how people have said to me over the course of ministry, they say, you know, I wish my child would go into the ministry. And I laugh and I say, oh, you don't want to wish that on anybody. Because you don't know what that will be in the life of your child. It looks pretty from the outside to be a prophet of God. Hey, you could get your book, name in the book, the Bible, right? No. It's only because you'll suffer that your name is going to be in that book. And so Amos is one of them. Amos had a harsh word to say. One of many included, God is going to bring judgment on the king of Israel. And there's going to be a lot of bloodshed. And I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but the king's going to die. And it's going to be at the hands of the Lord. Disobedience is what Israel has lived by. It's not because he was innocent. It's not because Israel was innocent. It is because they're under judgment and condemnation, and the prophet had to deliver that message. See, a prophet was a messenger. In the study of what we call the prophetic form in which the prophet spoke, it's called a messenger form. It's kind of like getting an email. The sender is God. The top line, what is the theme? Judgment's coming. And then the content of the e-letter follows. Due to the circumstances in which I have observed your kingship and the people's behavior towards me and the Torah, I have pronounced my judgment. And then the oracle, the statement, okay? So understand what's being taken place when a prophet speaks is a message directly from God. Now, scoffers would say, as did in the days of Amos, he's not a true prophet because the prophets of the kings would never say bad things about our king. Well, they were the false ones. There are true prophets, there are false prophets. Always have been, always will be. Whenever God speaks his word, there's a counterfeit word that comes back. Jeremiah found it. All the prophets found. Everybody going around saying, oh, he's a crackpot. He's a nut. Don't believe him. God would never destroy Israel. God would never destroy Jerusalem. Oh, yes, God can. And God will. And God did. It's a fait accompli. It's done. They disobeyed. They would not repent. Judgment was administered. As he speaks this word, he says, look, I know you'll criticize me, kind of like Jesus in the gospel text last week. If you remember, who is this Jesus? He's the carpenter's son. Didn't we see him grow up? What makes him think he can be a deliverer of a word of God when we saw him as a scrappling young boy? Oh, don't misunderstand how God comes to his people. God comes to his people just like the babe at Bethlehem, not in a palace, but in a feed trough. Don't misunderstand God's message. It's clear. He wants reconciliation. He wants restoration of his people. He wants nobody to die. I really get upset when people say, oh, this God of the Christian God, he's such a mean and angry God. Oh, you haven't read the Bible. You read the Bible. Who could be more patient than God? Who could go the extra mile as far as God can go? He'll go not just 1 mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, 5 miles, 10 miles, and he'll even give his own son. Remember how Abraham came wanting to save Sodom and Gomorrah? And he dickered with God, kind of risky, to say the least, against the Almighty. How about if I could find 50 righteous, would you spare the cities? Okay, Abraham, 50. Well, I don't want to be presumptuous. How about 40? Now we're going to dicker it down to 30. Oh, there might not be 30, Lord. How about 20? Okay, Lord. I don't think there's even 20. How about 10? Oh, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy the cities. Who could give more than God has given us chances? And still, Not enough righteous were there, and the cities were destroyed. Don't tell me God is not patient. Don't tell me God wants blood. That's not our God. It's the stubbornness of God's people who are just think somehow they'll get there, get to please God or get to heaven on their own laurels. As I said at the second service, more so than at the early service last week, this is not a DIY religion, Christianity, do it yourself. We're so used to going to the store, getting your own plumbing supplies, electrical supplies, and doing it yourself. You don't come to church, you get your DIY supplies and go home and trust that. What you do here is that God holds each and every one of us accountable. And as the scriptures say, there's not one who hasn't sinned. There's not one who is righteous. But all stand in need of redemption. And that's what Jesus Christ came to give to his people. Life beyond death. To the second reading, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, blessed is our God, our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. When Paul writes that, he's not saying predestination. He is saying God already knew you were going to be on his book. God already had a plan for you, me, and humanity to be written in the book of life. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious name and grace he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Hear those words, freely bestowed on his people. There was not something we had to put a down payment on here. It's nothing that our good works or our piety or pious behavior, language, whatever, that has made us right with God. It is his love and his redemption for us. Verse 7, we have this redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace he lavished on us. In accordance with all of that, he has given us his good pleasure that he set forth in Jesus Christ. It was a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things to him, things in heaven, things on earth. In Christ we have obtained an inheritance which has been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and his will, so that we who are the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. Back in the days when I served as a Presbyterian minister ordained, as well as a Lutheran pastor ordained in North Dakota, I would teach the Presbyterian catechism to the youth and to the adults of the Presbyterian flavor of the faith. It had something that Luther didn't give us. I like it. The Heidelberg Confession begins with this question and answer, kind of like Luther does. What is the chief purpose of us? Why are we given life? Why did our existence even happen? And it was to worship and praise and serve our God. The focus of life is God. Now, look out there in the countryside, the hillside, the cities, the urban, the nations. Do we get that picture? Do we see that the existence of humanity, the squabble over turf about who's right and who's wrong and what party is correct and which party is wrong? Do you see God even coming up? That our chief purpose is to honor, serve, and obey God and praise him. All that we say, think, and do. The message to me is pretty simple. I know living it is most difficult. That is the challenge. To to navigate through this world, which would take us off track, to stay the course, see it through, as Paul will say, and finish the race you have now begun, until we have received the banner and the accolades of completion for Jesus Christ. And as a result, this is the pledge of our inheritance towards the redemption as God's people, to the praise of his glory. Again, praising God, our chief end in this existence. When I look out over nature, when I look out over not always human behavior, I look at the beauty of what God has done and the tranquility before humans disturbed it, I begin to realize there is much to praise God for. And we humans sure have disturbed the order. You know, when we say and talk about paradise being restored, it was not a follow sequel to Milton's writing of the Middle Ages, Paradise Restored, if you ever read that in high school. But it is rather an existence where God is king, and let the heavens ring, kind of thing alludes to. Let the earth be glad. Peace, true peace, as God meant it to be. Come to the gospel lesson. And even though it's in the text as a presentation of Herod dealing with Jesus, you know the story is about John the Baptizer, right? John the Baptizer, and so introduced through Mark, is how it is that John died. We get a fairly detailed, as much as you can in the Gospels, especially for the shortest and quickest written Gospel, Mark. He went into elaborate detail about how John would die. It's because the whole family system of Herod, with his wife Herodias, because he saw to it that his brother would exit life, he would take his brother's wife to be his wife. Her daughter would become his daughter, Herodias. And then, how about a death wish? What would you like for your birthday? Have any of you ever asked for the head of somebody? I cannot imagine that on my platter of things I would want. But this family is so corrupt. Herod's of, if you don't know this, Herod is a title. And there are several Herods during the life of Jesus. So they're not all the same. If you read the Gospels, you're going to get lost. This Herod, with all the other Herods, bought their position. They were called King of Israel, the King of the Jews. Okay? That was their title in Israel. And they didn't get it because of birthright. They didn't get it because of their religion. They didn't get it for their faithfulness to the Torah. They got it because they paid it off to Rome. They bought the office. Okay? So they were greedy. They were certainly infatuated with their own power. And they would do anything, including murder, to get what they wanted. And they did. They thought. They thought they silenced John the Baptizer. Oh, Jesus is going to be their memory. Throughout his ministry, he's going to point out about John. He may have been the least in the kingdom. He's the greatest of those who end the period of the prophets. He has spoken forthrightly against sin and abuse of power. And he called a spade, even if it cost him his life. True to the Old Testament prophets, Amos, Hosea, Micah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, the whole list, plus others whose names are not given to us in the written record. They spoke the word. They lived the life. They took their lumps, and then they surrendered their lives back as a gift to God, to be faithful to the end, to be true to the truth, and not just flip-flop, depending on what winds were blowing at the time. So in the context of the gospel text, as you come to the end of the reading, oh, Herodias got her wish. and her mother got her request. Herod felt pretty smug. He delivered on his promise. Oh, he's a man of his word. You got to respect him. Oh, what a corrupt word you spoke, Herod. When the kingdom of Jerusalem would fall, 70 AD, Herod would be killed. You might call it just deserts. You might call it a judgment of God. But Herod would no longer be Herod. And then no longer be Herod's, sitting on the throne, called the King of the Jews. For we know in history, time and by faith, Jesus Christ was the King of the Jews. The God of grace, who calls us to look at our lives, look at our nation, look at our communities, look at our daily existence. Keep testing ourselves against the Word of God, which is the only objective source of what's right and what's wrong. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Our hymn of the day is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Our worship continues with our prayers, page 12. Please rise. Marcia leads us.
Growing in faith and discipleship, we give thanks for God's merciful compassion as we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of truth, put your word of justice on our lips. Bless your church in the task of holy resistance. Make us a living and persistent sign of your righteousness and your loving kindness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of heaven and earth, pour your healing power upon our fragile earth for us and for all who will inherit it. Inspire the work of engineers and environmentalists who seek sustainable sources of energy, food, and clean water. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of justice, hold your plumb line to the nations. Speak convicting words of holy judgment to those in positions of authority. Redeem all harms caused by corruption and the hunger for power. Restore peace to our world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of salvation, bring wholeness to all your beloved children. Anoint the hands of all caregivers, nurses, doctors, therapists, hospice workers, and chaplains. Bring abundance of life to all who long for healing. And we remember in our prayers today, Iris Cook, Carrie Harper, Daniel Baisley, Ed O'Connor, Marianne Thomas, Maria Romp, John Pennell, Phyllis Akers, Mike Parker, Karen Claus, Ann McRae's niece, Christine, Etta Rep, Crystal Ferris, and we remember those serving our nation, including Tristan Morrison, Jamie Sullier, and Rob Nolan. Lord, we ask that you would protect all serving our nation and return them all home to their family, friends, and loved ones and into our communities. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of tenderness, you adopt us as your own. Help us to provide nourishing care for all children in our midst. Inspire us with their creativity and energy. Heal and protect children who are victims of abuse, neglect, or scorn. Lord, in your mercy. God of the saints, you have claimed the faithful departed as your own and given them an inheritance in glory. Sustain us in faith until the fullness of time when you gather up all things in heaven and on earth. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Gracious God, we do lift to you these prayers and the prayers of our hearts, trusting in your everlasting love as well as your mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. If you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts that enable the ministry we as a people of our Savior seek to conduct. Two in-house things that I've asked to announce. Inside your mailboxes in the narthex of the sanctuary, you will find two important documents, one of which is it's not a pictorial directory, it's a printed directory that we do annually. So those updated ones of dates, of information, and all that stuff, we hope is accurate because we've gone over it about 60 times. So please, I hope it's accurate. If not, please notify the church office, because somehow it didn't get channeled to the office. Also, the other statement is your financial statement. So you're giving this far through the year of 2018, or back there by Marsha Wetzel. She has taken the time to record it for the members who do give and visitors to the church. She has taken the time to print them out. She has taken the time to put them in the mailboxes. Our responsibility is to pick them up and look at them. We get the easy job. So please make sure you pick up your financial statement of giving. You know that we have much in the way of blessings from the Lord God, but much in the way of challenge in the giving of the members to fulfill our responsibilities for this year. Each week we print it in your bulletin. I'm not going to speak about it in the radio, but I do encourage you to reel and feel some responsibility for us to make this right by the end of the year as much as we can. So put that before you. Also, as I mentioned, there's a meeting at 9:30 in the classroom down the hallway, Planning Vacation Bible School. You'll notice the sign outside the property at 6th and Wall Street. Got to thank Fred Morrison and Doug Cole for placing that up this week. Doug Cole then for updating it because it had another date on it, so he took the artistic approach and repaired and updated it for us. Oh, well, we got to give credit to Kathy. It's always the woman behind us. Yes, thank you, Kathy. So was she out there putting it up, or was that you, Doug? It was a team effort. And thank you. Thank you very much. So that the community can see. I do want, you know, we have a church picnic for our Savior this Wednesday, 6 o'clock, we eat at Scott Pike's. Please, I've been putting it in the e-letter, bulletins, everything, council's been informed. If you've read your e-letter, you can see the county has a park in Columbus. It's called the Columbus County Park. I know a lot of people are saying, what's that? Where's that? Because we're all kind of oriented to the northern tier of St. Clair County. But actually, there's another part of this county. And there are Lutherans down there. So the picnic is going to be down there. The meal begins at 4 o'clock, a potluck. We have never had an event since 1987, January 1st, when we became the Evangelical Lutheran Church, that ever brought the Lutherans of our congregations together. So this is a first attempt. Doesn't mean we'll do it again, but certainly we have a desire for members to be highly motivated to go down there for the park and to meet your sisters and brothers. Some of you are related to them. Can't get away from blood streams in this communities. And we'll be there from 4 o'clock as the meal. 5 o'clock, we're gonna do a worship service together and just fellowship after that. So it's a time to break bread, worship our God, and fellowship. That's a good formula. So that is August 19th. August 19th on a Sunday. So please be part of that experience. Our worship continues as our gifts are presented. Our offertory is Change My Heart, O God. We sing it twice, please.
Let us pray. Merciful God, you open wide your hand and satisfy the need of every living thing. You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We praise it through Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples. He said, take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the meal was over, he took the cup of wine, he gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me. And so with this bread, with this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come, let us eat, for now the feast is spread. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We come forward as guided and we sing. Welcome, Joyce.
Welcome, I.
there. Switch over. This is Christ's body for you. Depart in our Lord's peace, Iris. You may have all the rest. Give me Jesus. If you'll please rise, we continue from page 21, the blessing. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, bless and keep you now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace, for you are Lord forevermore. Amen.
Amen. And our sending song, Every Time I Feel the Spirit. You see the citation in the upper left-hand corner. This was a VBS song, and it was for junior high youth. I think we qualify. So we sing, it's a beautiful song, Every Time I Feel the Spirit, energize yourself by God's Spirit.
Go in peace. The Spirit sends us forth to serve.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.